They love hot springs. They fucking love hot springs.
Moving buildings. New things. The river crossing. Oh no!
Over the sea.
Horses over the sea.
Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones. Game.
Sean Bean dies.
I'm Red Scott.
And I'm Ivan Hernandez.
This is Boys Going Swords,
the third best pork cutlet bowl podcast on the internet. All we do is win and eat pork cutlet bowls. That's all we ever do.
That's all I've ever wanted in life. Today.
So this week, I'm so excited because let me tell you guys, we were originally going to do a Love Actually podcast, which would have been a lot of Red going, I love Love Actually, and me going, I'm lukewarm on Love Actually. Yeah. But instead, we're doing Yuri on Ice. That's right, guys. Anime. We're an anime podcast that talks about anime.
That's, man. So, first of all, I should explain, because I was the one who suggested it, and that makes no sense.
It really didn't. When Red suggested it, I was like, is this Red? has he been replaced somehow?
So, obviously, well, maybe not obviously. If you know the type of people I follow on Twitter, obviously I found out about Yuri on Ice from Sarah Zhang, who is basically only tweeted about three things in her life. One, weird legal court cases. Two, Pokemon. And three, various anime. So she was the first person who piqued my interest. And from there, I just started noticing it everywhere. Like, this is a huge cultural phenomenon that I'm sure some people, like, if I wasn't on Twitter, I would have no idea this show existed.
Oh, absolutely not. And this is, Yuri on Ice is having a moment as far as anime fandom goes. And the distribution avenues for anime are so weird in this modern era.
It's so crazy.
Because it's not officially licensed for release in America, I don't think. So instead we get it on Crunchyroll.
I don't even know what that is, and I love it.
Yeah. Oh, I fucking hate those goddamn Geico ads so goddamn much. What? At one point they played like three of them in a row, and I was like, Crunchyroll, you need to fucking get your ad game on point already.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because I watched them today, and I have seen zero ads.
I was using my Chromecast to cast them from the browser into onto my television.
Gotcha.
So it is probably that.
Gotcha. Okay. So yeah, I mean, it was crazy because a lot of these, they're hard to find. You have to pay. Like, I was so baffled. I was all ready to like contact my various nefarious internet people to try and acquire a version of this episode. And I just went to crunchyroll.com and it just played. And then the second one played. And I was like, this is way easier than American television.
Listen, you never have to pay for anime. That's the great thing about anime. You never have to pay for anime. It's always out there for free somewhere.
We covered this briefly on the Patreon one, but my experience with anime up to this point is, basically, I think somebody tried to make me watch Golden Boy in college.
I love fucking Golden Boy.
That was
weird. Such a great anime. He's
didn't
such
get on
a pervert.
Board with that.
I love it so much.
I have seen a couple episodes of One Punch Man because of you now. And now
I still need to finish One Punch Man.
And now I have seen this, which is the most compelling. I'm going to actually finish watching this, which has never happened with an anime before. Never. Not once. And so listen, this is the one opportunity you're going to have in your life. Ivan, will you please mansplain anime to me?
First of all, my experience with anime is otaku desu ne?
What is
otaku desu ne?
Also, I thought otaku just meant perv. Like, what does otaku mean?
Otaku means an obsessive fan.
Oh, that makes more sense, because they use the term like otaku, skater otaku, in this show, and I was like, I guess that term doesn't mean what I think it does.
No, it started as an insult and then got appropriated by otaku to be a positive.
Japan's weird, man.
So that's where that came from. All right, so I can explain so much about anime.
The number one question I want answered, first of all...
Let me hear your questions about it, because a lot of this, I could just go off,
yes,
but I want this to be concentrated.
I have a two-part question. One, is it racist to say all anime looks alike? And then second... to be real, I assume if I watched a bunch of anime, I'd be able to tell the different like studios apart. But it's compared to American animation. I don't understand why everybody's always doing the same style. Isn't it boring and dumb? Isn't that a boring and dumb choice for people to make?
I think it's mostly because that style of animation is very ingrained in the culture. If you read individual like mangas, there's a lot more style variation because it's just, you know, one person working on it. But typically, studios like this, you know, it's fucking like 50 dudes working on fucking one series at a time. And it's like you can't put too much individual style on there. If you watch a lot more anime, you will obviously see a lot more of the differences, you know.
Sure.
Certain places have certain house styles. Like, every Ghibli movie looks the same, but very few Ghibli movies look like most mainstream anime these days.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, you know, you have to expose yourself to a lot more of it to really catch a lot of the differences. But, you know, if you watch a lot of, like, traditional action cartoon, American action cartoons, you know, you'll notice that a lot of the shit looks the same.
Yeah, that's that's fair.
Yeah, I mean, my God, if you look at any of the fucking stupid DC animated movies that they've been making, it's all house-style anime ripoff. Like, a lot of this is just like, we use the studio and this is how they draw. Yeah.
I mean, is there a concise origin of the Japanese style of animation? Is there like a specific guy they're all mocking? They're all, not mocking, but doing like them?
You have to kind of go back to the roots of a lot of it, like Osamu Tezuka, who did Astro Boy. He's a lot of the basis of like the big eye cartoonish style.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as familiar with a lot of like the building block stuff because some of it is pretty fucking obscure. And like a lot of it didn't really get to America rightly. You know, it's late 70s, early 80s is where anime really started to like take off, and that's when you had a lot of stuff like Macross, which became Robotech in America.
I've heard of Robotech.
Yeah. And Robotech's crazy because the series they released as Robotech is actually like a bunch of different Macross series edited together in a weird way. Like the translation of anime to America is fucking very rocky. Like, I mean, only with the internet really has there become like an actual pipeline. It used to be like you had to go to a fucking greasy like comic book store that hopefully rented anime DVDs, and like some of them were licensed, some of them were fucking straight up bootlegs, and like subtitling could be, you know, You basically ran the gamut of there being, oh, these are decent subtitles, to I might as well be watching this in fucking Japanese.
I have so many questions about this. So the theme song, for example, is in English.
Yeah, that happens a lot.
Because I don't know what Crunchyroll is. I don't know how much effort, what this distribution is happening. So I assume they had changed that for the American distribution, but that's not the case.
Nah, motherfucker. Like, Japan loves fucking English and fucking American shit. I keep telling you, fucking watch Cowboy Bebop already.
It'll happen at some point.
Red, it's 26 episodes and a movie that you don't have to watch, really. But those 26 fucking episodes are so goddamn good. And most of the music in that is English. They will generally employ actors or singers who can, you know, sing in English fairly decently. So there's like a little cottage industry of that. It really depends on like what they're going for. This anime especially, it goes for a lot more international flair. There's a bunch more, you know, international characters. There's a lot of like Russian stuff primarily. I do believe we get some American characters later.
We're gonna get into it, but there are some like they have the Russians speaking English at one point randomly. And mm-hmm. that I had to pause it. I was laughing so hard. There was like three moments. We watched two episodes. We're covering two episodes today, which I feel like are the real pilot. Like by the end of the second episode, you really get what the thrust of the season is going to be. Mm-hmm. I laughed harder at this show than I've laughed at anything. And I'm not sure they were jokes. I think it just been me.
Most
me
of them
watching,
were jokes.
A lot of them were jokes, but a lot of them were just me watching anime for the first time and just being so caught off guard by what's happening. Me watching this was like going back in time and showing the Lumiere brothers The Force Awakens. Like, I just had no context. I had no context for everything that had led up to this point. And I was just like scream laughing at what was... It just felt... I had to rewind several times because I just missed what was happening. It was very jarring to the senses.
Listen, if you haven't watched any anime, this is kind of the deep end as far as anime goes.
Yeah, oh my god. Okay, I think we should start getting into this episode.
We'll get into this episode, but I want to make a point, which is there is a variety of topics in manga that really you don't see in like mainstream American comic books or American comics at all. Manga in Japan is basically just like another form of respected literature. Fucking everybody reads it, and because of that, there are, you know, it's not all action manga. There's like sports manga. There's like there are the big two divisions as far as like most manga are shonen and shoujo. Shonen is boys' manga. Shoujo is girls' manga.
So can I ask for some clarification? So when you're saying manga, yes. That word has forever
comics.
Meant... No, right. So I was going to say that's always meant one thing to me, and that was when I had my second job at the San Jose Public Library. It was the two bookshelves that held a bunch of sort of comic book things that were like in the form factor of an American TV guide, but thicker.
Yeah, so that's exactly how it is.
Okay, so but it's specifically the comics. So this is not when you're saying manga. That's not. Is this based on a manga? Is that why I'm confused?
I don't actually know, but like the manga to anime pipeline,
it's very strong.
It's very strong.
Would you describe it as robust?
Very robust. But the point I'm making is that Japan doesn't have these ideas where it's like, oh, it's a comic book. It has to be an action comic book for fucking guys.
Gotcha.
There is a division of like subjects that you don't get in like American comics or animation. And this plays into it because it's not an action show.
No.
It's not like a straight up a comedy. It's a sports show.
It is a sports show.
It's just a sports show. And you know, you don't really see that in American animation at all. Like, American animation, it's like, it's an action show. Like, it's an action show or it's like a children's action comedy, like Adventure Time or Steven Universe style. But you very rarely get like, oh, this is just like a sports cartoon in America.
And this is, can I say, this is, I literally tweeted a joke about this the other day, and I don't know if it continues on in the series, but there is so often a sports show in the United States especially will be like, oh, there's this new drama based on baseball. And then like the first line of the positive review about the show is like, don't worry, it doesn't get caught up in a bunch of baseball bullshit. And then I'm like, fuck that show. That's exactly what I wanted it to do. And this Japanese animation gets caught, like, it's very firmly in the world of figure skating. It deals with the world of like coaches, of competitors, of like, you know, different nations competing, of the pipeline about how early somebody had to be skating. Like, it really does have a ton of the minutia of skating. And that is the kind of stuff I love in shows. I wish American shows would get more caught up in that stuff.
I actually read an interview with Johnny Weir, the famous Olympian ice skater, where he said that, yeah, it's basically completely accurate.
I love that shit.
Yeah, and actually the guy who did the choreography on this show is a famous ice skating choreographer. He's this Japanese dude who's just like a real big skating choreographer, and he was like the consultant on all this shit.
I absolutely love that attention to detail. There's the American shows. So the two biggest best examples of this are Pitch most recently, which had a great pilot, and Friday Night Lights had both had pilots that integrated the world that the show takes place in and the actual sport so well. And I was like, yes, I want to watch this show. I love everything about it. And then, you know, Friday Night Lights is basically more or less ignores football and just becomes a soap opera. And the same thing happens on Pitch. And I'm like, what? That's not what you sold me. That's not what I care about. If I wanted to watch a soap opera, I'd watch a soap opera. You promised me sports.
And this, it fucking delivers. I'm not a sports guy.
Yeah.
But no. the animation on this fucking skating is exquisite.
All right.
It's
so
really some beautiful shit. So let's get into it.
Rolling into it. So this starts off. And by the way, we were originally going to cover three episodes. The cutting is so dense that like these 20-minute long episodes could have easily been hour-long episodes just by like having it be a more realistic painting, pacing. Excuse me.
Yeah. And generally anime is like not this dense. Like generally it like stretches. I mean, listen, we all fucking watched Dragon Ball Z on Toonami and remember the 5 minutes on Namek that went for 10 episodes.
Nope, I mean, not all of us, but I get to your point.
So, Most of us.
So we're introduced to Japanese Yuri, and that's not racist. That actually is important to know.
I'm going to go with the Yuri-Yurio
distinction.
Distinction from the start.
There end up being two people named Yuri. The Yuri that's being referred to in the title is the Yuri who is from Japan. There is also a Russian Yuri who we will refer to as Yurio going forward. We learned that there Yurio is skating at his first Grand Prix. He's 23 years old. He had moved to train at a facility in Detroit, where he had been for 5 years. And I guess he screws up. In the Grand Prix.
He just fucking comes in six. And you know, it's one of those things where it's like, This guy's a fucking a trained professional athlete, and it's like he's doing better than any of us could ever hope to do on an ice rink. And yeah, he still comes in last because that's the level that he's performing in.
Right. He's crying.
Which, by the way, Red.
Yes.
I'm going to go ahead and say neither of us have any ability to ice skate.
No.
I figured as much.
I have done it. I've done it like three times, like two times at like kind of temporary set up cute ice rinks in places that are with temperatures should not allow them to have outdoor ice rinks. And one time at an indoor ice rink. That's my whole history.
I have such a terrible center of gravity and balance. I cannot regular skate, much less ice skate. You put me, I've tried to get on a fucking ice skating rink, and my motherfucking knees have hated me for it ever since. It's nothing but me just like gripping the fucking railing, just being like, I don't know why my parents made me do this.
And so we have the character. So we have Yuri Katsuya.
I believe Katsuya?
Katsuya. Dude, Japanese names are hard for me to remember. You've been immersed in the culture longer than I have.
Listen, otaku desu ne, but fucking Japanese names still throw me sometimes.
All right, and then we have there's the famous, sort of the Michael Jordan of figure skating in this world, Viktor Nifornikov, who is from Russia.
And, Red, I know you don't know this term, but let me tell you, Viktor is such a bishonen.
So he's bi? Is that?
He might actually be. I believe we're supposed to tell from context clues that there's a bit of yaoi going on, but let me tell you, he's a bishonen, which means pretty boy.
So one thing that actually interested me in watching this, so I want to bring this up now. So yoi, is that the term for where they're like basically gay baiting? Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Yaoi is basically like, I wouldn't say it's gay baiting, even though it's a lot of it is like made by women for women.
Okay.
Even though it's depicting, you know, fucking dudes fucking.
Sure.
It's definitely some yaoi shit.
So
there's a Yeah.
So, I mean, one of the reasons I was interested in the show, actually, and this is a bit of a spoiler. You can skip ahead 30 seconds if you don't want to know anything about the basic of this relationship, but I believe it is supposed to be an explicitly gay relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that is just teased the whole time.
Yeah. I mean, episode 2, it really starts to get into it.
Sure.
But, yeah, it's pretty much some yaoi shit. I don't believe it gets into fucking, you know, them fucking on the ice or anything. But,
I hope it does.
You know what? I do, too. Honestly, if I saw two guys managing to have sex with each other while ice skating, I'd be like, this is truly some of the most beautiful sportsmanship I have ever borne witness to.
I'm immediately like, how would you maintain an erection in some of those poses, though? Like, I don't...
And that's why they're artists.
So, Yuri calls his mom from the bathroom. His mom went to, like, a public viewing place, like a bar, where everybody was watching him, and he's embarrassed, starts crying, and apologizes to his mom for his failure. Never apologize to your mom. That's the one thing. Don't show her a moment of weakness.
Even if you're in the wrong, you never apologize. Never surrender.
Especially if you're in the wrong. That's the moment where she can really win. And so that, I was like, you're making some bad strategic choices. The gold medalist Russian punk is just waiting for him outside the stall, who is, I believe, 15 at this point.
Oh, God, I hate Yurio so fucking much.
Yeah, so the Russian... I'm going to interchange between the Russian punk and Yurio, because the Russian punk is really fun to say. looks at him outside the stall. And by the way, I have to say, in our current international climate, I am very ready to take Russian villains seriously.
Oh, listen, we didn't take a Russian villain seriously, and look what happened.
Yeah, no, now I'm on board. I'm like, I'm not underestimating this kid. Even though he seems like skating Joffrey. Even though it's fucking Joffrey on ice, I am taking him 100% seriously. By the way, I thought of that, and then I was like, oh, that's going to be obvious. And I searched on Twitter, and nobody's made that connection. Yurio is Joffrey on ice. And basically his entire objection, the reason he's come back here, he's like, listen, I'm about to be competing against you in your group, and we can both agree that having two Yuris would be bad for our brand, so you need to quit.
That is true. Red, I don't think that you've run into this problem.
Uh-huh.
I've met other Ivans in comedy, and I've hated them from the fucking second.
Yeah.
There was an Ivan in San Francisco comedy who was also Latino, and I was like, I hope you quit so fucking fast.
And you got your wish, but then you did also. I think you guys are tired.
No. The career I went to afterward is doing much better than his, I assume.
I assume so as well. So at the airport, there's so many things happening in this that I'm like, is this... That I always ask myself, is this a character choice or is this a convention in anime? And I don't know. So, for example, Yuri's at the airport and a reporter just shows up out of nowhere and chews him out. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't understand. Like, he's like,
wait, I thought that was his coach.
Oh, is that his coach? That makes so much more sense.
I think that was his coach.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it said it, and I was so just like, why is he taking this from this reporter?
Listen, the
I should
don't
listen
know how
in my defense
the relationship with the Japanese press is.
In my defense, my next note is it is really hard to review a show with subtitles while taking notes.
It really is. And Crunchyroll subtitles can be a bit fickle sometimes. There are a few times where it was like, wait, I missed the first half of that sentence.
Yeah, no,
please go back.
I had to go back several times. Well, mostly because of the note taking. I don't think it would hurt you if you were just watching it and not mm-hmm. taking notes. And so we cut from there to 1 year later in...
Oh, you completely skipped over.
Oh, sorry.
One of my favorite moments.
Please go.
Two of my favorite moments, actually. There was him not wanting to take a photo with Victor because of how much of a fucking hero crush he has on him.
Yeah.
Which, that was so adorable. And the second one that I loved... I'm not going to tell everybody this, but I'll just explain this in my head. I've had that fucking moment so many times where it's like, listen, I could explain what I'm doing to all of you guys, but I'm just going to explain it to myself so that I know that I'm right.
Well, it looks really dumb from the outside, and it did in the.
It always looks very
show.
Dumb from the outside. It never looks good from the outside.
So we cut to 1 year later in his hometown, which is I believe Hasetsu. Is that the name of his hometown?
I think so.
Sure.
Listen,
I'm referring to you. You're the most Japanese person on this podcast right now. You have to be the arbiter of all things Japan.
Otaku desu ne? So, one of my favorite things, and they only show this for a fucking split second, the statue of a squid gripping an urchin. I fucking love that statue. That's a great statue. I love how much Japan loves fucking squids.
I think it took me a good 15 minutes in this first episode where I was like sort of evaluating on its own terms as opposed to just screaming, "What is happening?"
And Yuri goes back home and I relate to this so much.
You came home and there were posters of you everywhere.
Everyone starts pointing out how fat he's gotten. I relate to that so much.
Yeah, the amount they were willing to call him fat, and randomly too, like just hit him upside the head with it. There is,
it's really good.
The lines between friends, family, adversaries, teachers and coaches among all the people in his hometown are so blurry. Just anybody can be anywhere at any time. And the context, I just don't understand. So Minako is the one I'm the most confused with.
Minako, I believe, is a family friend.
Okay.
Because she is addressed with a sensei and not a kun. Okay. Let me explain some of these suffixes to you.
No, please. I'm here for this.
Sensei is teacher.
Right.
Which is attached to anybody who you know is a teacher or a professor or, you know, a master of sorts.
Okay.
Kun is a... familial suffix. It is generally used like brother addressing sister, sister addressing brother, parent addressing child,
gotcha.
But not child addressing parent.
Gotcha.
You know, san is the typical Mr. or Mrs. What are any of the other ones? Chan is a, it is basically a cute diminutive. So if you saw a kid, you'd address them as like fucking, you know, Ryo-chan or something. And I believe that's most of the ones that get used. Yeah.
I'll tell you my read on Minako and you can tell me if I'm right. Former ballet teacher of Yuri and now current townie alcoholic and his biggest fan.
Yes, I think that's a perfect read on that character.
Okay, good. It took me a while to get there. It bounced to a lot of different extremes before I ended up there after a couple episodes.
Oh no, at first I was like, wait, is she a sister?
Yeah.
Is she an aunt? Or what?
Or his girlfriend? I don't... Yeah, that's another thing in anime. Like, I don't know what the cues they're giving us to show characters different ages, but I haven't figured it out yet. It seems to be pure height. Height seems the only thing to correlate with age.
It's mostly height.
Yeah,
it's mostly height and whether they have like wrinkles around their mouths.
Well, I didn't see any wrinkles. I don't know. But also, so for example, like Victor is, I believe, 9 feet tall, drawn to scale. 9 feet tall and 120 pounds to show that he is the ancient age of 27.
I feel like if you actually did like a character height comparison, he would end up being 9 feet tall relatively.
Yeah, Victor is the, for some reason, like all the other characters to me clock as cartoons, and I'm just like, okay, yeah, they're, you know, they're cartoonish characters. Him in specific, I'm like, that physics just no. Like, there's something about his character, they like tried to go for unearthly beauty, and they only got halfway there, as far as I can tell.
Honestly, to me, he feels like a praying mantis, where I'm like,
yes!
My God, I admire the beauty of this creation, but at the same time, I'm scared by its butt.
And it will rip my head off.
Oh, definitely.
So he ended things with his... We get from a voiceover that he's done with college. He's ended things with his coach. His future is unclear. And we hear that hardly any kids are skating these days. Mm-hmm. Presumably he inspired a bunch of them, but now that he's gone shitty, all the kids are like, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. Oh, we get the introduction to Pork Cutlet Bowl. Which I feel is the real star of this show.
I agree. I feel like it should have been, much like people say, like New York was also a character in this film. I feel like
the pork cutlets are also a character in Yuri on Ice.
Agreed.
And let me tell you, that's some fucking well-illustrated pork cutlet. You could, like, just see the panko crunch on that shit. Mm. I was like, I'm going to fucking get a bowl of this.
Get me up in there.
Yeah.
And so at this restaurant, his mom is great. Mm-hmm. His mom is great. Have you lost weight? No, I do not understand the dynamics. The, like, ballerina teacher is yelling at Yuri about his weight. And then I don't know how to describe it. Like, again, being so unfamiliar with everything that's happening, I found myself, especially in this first episode, just like watching wide-eyed and baffled. And so it left me emotionally vulnerable for when the dog died. I got real sad real fast.
Vic Chan?
I was not ready for that.
Vic Chan?
I was like, oh, he's going to go see his... No.
No, Vic Chan died.
Vic Chan died. And I was just... I was just unprepared, and it set me spiraling.
Honestly, when they were like, you're fat and your dog died, I was like, I relate to this character so fucking much.
I mean, just... At that point, I was like, I hope he wins.
I hope Red Chan wins.
And then here's a character that I have no read on at all. So I'm getting Mary. Mari is his sister, I think, or she's definitely works at the hot springs.
Yeah, the girl who works at the hot springs, I believe, is his sister. She is addressed with a coon, which would indicate familial affiliation.
And she's offering to support him. I don't know how any of these people are related. She's just like again, real towny vibe, smoking a cigarette, just trying to live day by day. And she's like, I'll give you some money for your skating, sugar. And I'm like, I don't know. I'm very confused.
I also love how a lot of this stuff revolves around a hot spring, which is so Japanese.
I guess so.
They love hot springs. They fucking love hot springs.
Yeah, I don't. The weird thing about it is I only have you to guide me, so I have no idea where we're being horribly racist. Because I assume...
If my reading of so many manga and watching of so many anime has taught me one thing, it's that the Japanese love two things. Hot springs, rice balls. If you're going to tell me that hot springs and rice balls are a racist stereotype of the Japanese, well, I'll concede that to you, but it's true.
So, yeah, it's so funny. Like, by the end of the second episode, I was getting more in the speed of things, but like at this point... At any point that I could establish a fact for sure, I would just write that down by itself. And I'm like, so there's just a line in my notes that says, he was born in Hasetsu. Like, I was just like that had been established like 5 minutes previous, but I just caught up with that fact. So his family runs the last hot springs in a faded tourist industry. I was like, oh, so he's basically working out of like Youngstown, Ohio, or Detroit, or like, you know, any of those kind of cities.
Mm-hmm.
I get the kind of, there's a great history of that in sports movies of, you know, the upstart guy coming from the small town that's burnout that used to be a great place, but isn't anymore. So I connected to that immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And then Manuki is just getting drunk and shaming him for not being in the finals.
What's your name? Your pronunciation of some of these names is definitely a little racist.
Sure. How's it pronounced?
Minako,
damn it. Yeah, no, that's pretty bad. Now that you say that, I realize how bad Manuki sounds. Minako.
It sounds pretty bad.
It sounds pretty bad.
Oh, and you're going to call me the racist?
No, I don't know. I feel like I'm ignorant. Like, I'm just straight ignorant. So I'm relying on you, and, you know, how much time have you spent living in Japan?
Look, I talk desne, but I haven't spent any time there.
All right.
Listen, yeah. apparently the Japanese they're a bit racist to people who might be of a darker skin tone. So, you know, I'd like to go, but at the same time I'd probably like, you know, a person to go around with me being like, "No, he's cool, guys."
Japan, good thing they're the only country like that.
It's a good thing that deep-seated anti-brown racism is only restricted to Japan.
And so to escape a drunk ballerina teacher, I'm not going to say her name ever again.
Minako?
Sure.
Minako Sensei.
He runs around town. It's a very pretty low frame rate animation.
Listen, they gotta save that budget for the fucking skating scenes. That's when the real good shit happens.
And he shows up at the ice rink.
And here's where we get the former love interest, and you can tell because the camera lingers on her butt for a second.
Is that how I know love interest in anime?
Listen, they showed an incredible amount of restraint for not focusing on butts too much. At least female butts. There's some male butt action in the next episode.
Well, the end of the first episode.
Is it the end of the first episode?
Yeah, it's the cliffhanger of the first episode. It's basically, here's a butt.
Yeah. This is also probably a good time to explain the Japanese concept of fan service.
Okay. Well, this is going to get real gross, isn't it?
Oh, it gets pretty gross. Listen. If a Japanese anime character has a skirt, we're going to see under that skirt for a few too many frames. Ugh. There are going to be a few too many frames where that skirt lifts a little too much, and you see those fucking panties. I love anime, but there's... Listen. Otaku was an insult for a reason.
Yeah. Maybe it shouldn't have been reclaimed.
Honestly, it probably shouldn't have. Probably should have died in the 90s.
So, Yu-chan?
Yes. That's perfectly fine pronunciation.
Was my rink mate years earlier. She's older than him, stood up for him, very older sister vibe. Mm-hmm. And she is the one who introduced Yuri to Victor, the mm-hmm. famous Russian skater. And sort of as a like throwback to like, hey, remember we used to love Victor? She's like, hey, I learned Victor's routine. Check this out. And she's super into it. And they cut, mm-hmm. they're cutting... Very beautiful. They're cutting between Yuri and Victor performing that same routine.
And some pretty fucking bravura animation. This is some good shit.
It looks great. I'm into it. Getting tingles. I'm feeling it. Every part of me is on board.
By the way, one of my favorite things about the show, the food commercial transitions.
What is happening?
I love those title cards. I love those title cards so fucking much.
No, I don't, like, it was literally just, like, a food, and then the food would disappear, and I was like,
they're commercial transitions.
I don't understand.
Yeah, you know, fucking, are they still commercials on Japanese TV.
Are they trying to say, go get something to eat? Is that the point?
It's the title card that's like, hey, a commercial's happening, hey, the commercial's just ended.
I was very confused.
Yeah, we don't generally have those in American TV because you're just supposed to go from like, you're supposed to remember that, listen, when they play a promo for one of their own shows, that's when you know the show that you're watching is going to come back.
Gotcha. So, the routine comes to the end and Yu-chan says the most Japanese thing I've ever heard. That was super cool. You know.
Yeah, and then we find out, I love that this is the first anime I've ever seen where Twitter and virality are part of the plot.
Yeah, it really is. So first off, before that, I have to say the Nishigori family are all really harsh on the few pounds he's gained. Her husband lifts up his shirt and then they like all smack his belly that like explodes from beneath his shirt. And
yeah. We found out that Yu-chan ended up getting married to the guy who kind of bullied Yuri in his youth.
So
and they have triplets.
They did. So the three triplets, I believe, are named Huey, Dewey, and Louie, if I wrote that down correctly.
By the way, have you seen the cast for the new DuckTales?
Why would I look at the cast for the new DuckTales?
David Tennant is Scrooge McDuck.
I like that a lot.
It's so good! It's such a good casting! Kate Micucci is in it. Danny Pudi is in it.
Who's Danny Pudi? Is he? No, I'm not even going to say it.
Abed from Community.
No, I know who Danny Pudi is. Which character is he playing?
I believe he's one of the triplets. Bobby Moynihan is in it.
Nice.
It's a pretty stacked fucking cast.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I was kind of fucking like, all right, this could go either way. But the second they were like, David Tennant is going to be Scrooge McDuck, I was like, I'll watch a few episodes of this.
I'll watch
an episode or two, I guess.
As far as reboots go, do you think it'll be better or worse than the Squeakle of Alvin and the Chipmunks?
Listen, the
that also had a great cast.
Listen, David Cross bought a few nice houses off of that, so good for him. But fucking, I don't care about that shit. Listen, Disney cares about their legacy. I'll fucking say that. They might exploit a lot of it, yeah, but they actually care about putting out good content. Fucking Alvin and the Chipmunks, yikes.
So this is...
Shrek, oof.
So talking about how the plot is just moving at a jet-powered pace.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, one of Huey, Dewey, and Louie posts the video on YouTube, very clearly YouTube. It goes viral mm-hmm. instantly. In Russia, Victor sees the video where he's training somebody, and the next day shows up in Japan to be his coach. No explanation. In between there, so Yuri turned off he's like embarrassed. He turns off his phone so he won't get any calls. And then literally he goes to sleep and wakes up and Victor's already there. Like they are wasting zero time. And he's naked, cut, and in the hot springs before Yuri can say anything.
Victor is such a manic pixie dream skating coach.
Yes, he is. He really is.
He really is.
I hadn't considered that before. Because at first, honestly, just because he was Russian and he was supposed to be an older character, I imagined him being more like a character we're introduced to in the second episode, Yakov. And so like it took me a while to like just readjust that this character is kind of, you know, not that moored in reality. He's very forgetful. Mm-hmm. Just kind of does what feels right, man.
He loves the shins.
Yes, he loves the shins. He's just walking around with headphones, just like, come here. and he's, yeah. They focus on Victor. Okay, so let me say this. They focus on Victor's butt. He rises naked out of the water and says, Yuri's starting today. I'm your coach. And I laughed to the point that I couldn't stop laughing. Then I started coughing, and I couldn't stop coughing. And then I started laughing again at how hard I was coughing. And I almost died. I almost died at this scene.
That is how nice Victor's butt is.
What I was laughing at was just like how far ahead they skipped in the plot in 0 seconds. Like they didn't even have time.
Welcome to anime!
Yeah, it was... this is as close... as I've ever felt when somebody says I'm screaming on Twitter. I've never felt that feeling before until this moment. I almost asphyxiated myself. I was laughing so hard at the scene, which I don't know if that's the emotion they were going for, but hardest I've laughed in 2016. It's December 22nd when we're recording this. I feel like I can say that.
And let me tell you, Victor's fucking cut.
Yeah. No. Yeah. His abs have abs.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And this is really where the kind of yaoi aspect of it really starts to come into play. Because it's like, they can't show a dick because it's Japan.
Right.
And they're very weird about certain things. But let me tell you, that dick's there.
I mean, I don't... No spoilers. Who knows if that dick's there?
Who knows? We really can't make any assumptions at this point.
Right. Maybe he's a cyborg and has only a robotic dick. I'm not willing to draw any conclusions from my lack of experience in Japanese animation at this point.
By the way, one of the weird things about Japan, they actually can't show any genitalia in their animation or pornography.
So the first one, I was like, animation, completely with you. I'm not sure they show any genitalia in American animation. I was like, I don't see why that's different. And then you kept going, and you said pornography. Yeah. And what the
fuck?
Oh, no,
it's all pixelated.
I've seen those pictures on the internet, and I thought people were just wait, the state pixelates genitalia?
The state doesn't do it, but, you know,
they
the law,
enforce it?
The obscenity laws, yeah. The obscenity laws are like, hey, you can't actually fucking... You know, show a vagina or like an erect dick. Actually, can you show it? I keep forgetting what the exact rules are, but I believe it's a lot more focused on not showing vaginas. There was an artist that actually, I believe she was arrested because she did a lot of like vagina sculptures.
Georgia O'Keeffe?
Listen, Georgia O'Keeffe's Japanese period was very dark.
Listen, all I'm saying is if somebody knows these laws, definitely @Ivan_Hernandez, and then he will let me know in the next episode.
All I want people to do is at me about Japanese obscenity laws. All I want.
You're going to be the Sarah Zhang of Japanese obscenity laws.
Honestly, I felt like that already.
All right, so episode 2, the title is To Yuri, which it didn't end up with Two Yuris making out, which, so already they're misleading me.
It might happen, though. There's still a lot of time left.
It shows Victor and Yuri, or was it Yakov in Russia? There's a rumor Victor is going to be Yuri's coach. What is he saying? And then we have the flashback to what is he saying, standing there buck naked. And then they're in the hot springs place where apparently he's just chosen to crash in a random place. And So I forget which character, I think it's his sister and Yuri, are literally standing above his head talking about him. And I was like, is this as weird as it seems? Because it seems very weird.
Yeah, they stick him in the empty banquet hall, and he's immediately like, hey, is there a sofa? It's like, motherfucker, you sit on the floor. It's Japan.
Yeah, I don't know. That was one of those things. I was like, are they making a point that it's like he's Russian and doesn't understand Japanese customs? Or I don't know. I don't know.
Look, you get a nice tatami, you sit on it.
It's tatamis are basically the fully baked and iced cakes are to the UK. Just things that you sit on.
They truly are. You sit on them. You sit on them, and the internet gives you some good money for it.
Yeah, we're introduced to his old coach, Yakov, who is a parody of a Russian skating coach. I love him.
It's so easy to do a parody of a Russian. And look where it got us.
Look where it got us.
Gorbachev was right. We were too arrogant about defeating the Soviet Union.
Victor, this all started in 1980 when the Americans defeated the Russian skating team.
And it only got worse from there.
Victor wants to know what Yuri's favorite food is. So they could have just said pork cutlet bowl, but they went pork cutlet bowl extra large.
And let me tell you, I'll fucking eat that extra large pork cutlet bowl.
Which inspires, I need to comment on this, which inspires Victor to such adulation and excitement at how delicious this pork cutlet bowl is that he screams, wow, amazing, in English. He says it in English. Did you catch that?
That is one of my favorite things. Yeah. Listen, Japan, fucking, sometimes they just import words.
Well, but also that always throws me off when I'm watching, like, one of my favorite things that I've ever seen in an animated film from another country is, God, I forget, I think it was called Persepolis, but it was an animated movie.
Persepolis, yeah, it's the adaptation of Marion Satrapi's graphic novels.
And so it's, I believe it is a French movie about an Iranian girl.
Yes.
So, you know, and I'm watching it with subtitles in English, but there is a scene where this Iranian girl does a montage to Eye of the Tiger, which she has learned from listening to American music tapes. Like, that's part of the plot of the film. And then she sings Eye of the Tiger phonetically. She knows no English whatsoever. And it is the most bizarre thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's pretty great. I recommend that you definitely read the graphic novels. They're fucking, that Marion Satrapi is definitely one of the modern masters of comics with an X.
Hmm. Is that extreme comics?
No, it's indie comics / biographical comics / anything that isn't big two superhero bullshit.
And then, so for a Manic Pixie Dream Coach, he's definitely doing some sleight of hand sifting into tough love. And, well, first of all, he says, is this what God eats? Which I'm seeing some of your attitudes and expressions come through anime.
Listen, listen, the fried pork cutlet is truly one of God's greatest creations.
And then Victor comes down hard with some tough love, like, why are you eating this? You haven't won shit. You ain't shit, little piggy, is, I believe, more or less a direct quote.
Oh, and I love that just, like, split second, like, when Yuri turns into, like, a black and white pencil drawing.
Yeah,
I've had that emotion a lot.
Yeah, that we all know that feeling when at first you're a full-color anime character, and the next second you're just a black and white pencil drawing. You've been reduced to a rough draft of a human being.
That's some real shit.
And then they go back to Victor's room and have a standard coach-pupil interaction, where he says, "Tell me everything about you," by stroking the underside of his chin.
Oh, and we had that where he's just like leaning forward and like one of his fucking nipples is exposed in his fucking robe.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, this is some good quality yaoi.
And they do the, they of course he like gets embarrassed, runs out of the room, and we cut to the next day. They do the classic Little Mac training run from Mike Tyson's Punch Out.
And he's so fat he can't keep up. I relate to fucking poor Yuri so much.
Well, fat Yuri, there's two things about fat Yuri. One, he's like, they're like, "Oh my God, he's so fat." He's like 3 pounds overweight. And two, he like loses the weight in a week. It's 1 week. 1 week.
He's got that athlete metabolism.
I guess.
He's got that cartoon metabolism.
I got kind of in my head for a second when I was watching this. I would pay great money to see the voice actors recording this in a vocal booth, because the voices are so extreme at every second. I just have to imagine that they're just doing backflips every second of their recording.
Listen, it's called acting.
And then he's getting fit through ballet with the coach whose name that I will never say again.
Minako-sensei.
And Yuri is continually freaking out talking to Victor, which is hella sweaty.
Oh, he's so fucking sweaty. And I love the any ex-girlfriends? It's like, oh, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
No comment. And I was like, yeah, that's me. That's me. It me.
I don't know if it is. Given the direction that I'm pretty sure that they're going, I think it not you. I think he's actually had no girlfriends.
It could be that, too.
So Victor takes a selfie, and the press shows up immediately. Like, he didn't even turn off locations. He was like, "Here's where I am." And the sad town is now infused with people going to the hot springs and satisfying the town's tourist industry.
And I love how much of a fucking Gaijin Victor is. He's like, "Ninja?"
Oh, yeah. That part I really enjoyed. Like, their idea of what somebody from outside of the country would do if they came there, which is completely accurate.
It's 100% accurate. All I'm fucking going to do if I'm in Japan is be like, "All right, I want to see castles. I want to fucking sit on a tatami. I want to eat a pork cutlet. I want to watch an octopus have sex with a woman." All of the classic Japanese tourist to-dos.
Just the type of things that Japanese people would never do unless they had people from out of town.
Exactly. Listen, we've got a gaijin in town. Let's go take him to see the octopus have sex with a woman.
Right, exactly. And then they go and they're like, "Oh, I don't know why I never came before now. This is..."
It's like the Statue of Liberty. Nobody who lives in Japan goes to see the woman have sex with an octopus.
Exactly. The fitness. So we get the true fitness montage. He gets fit in 1 week, and then skater Joffrey rolls into town and is trying to get Victor back to Russia. And apparently, we learn through a flashback that Victor made a promise to Yurio that if he could win the championship without quads, he'd choreograph a routine for him. "I'll give you the best senior debut ever," we hear him say. And this is actually kind of how I learned that he is sort of a manic pixie dream coach. He's like, "Oh yeah, I did say that. My bad."
Yeah, we this is the episode that really unfurls what the three main characters' plots are going to be. Fucking standard Yuri is like, "Hey, I want to be a champion." Yurio is like, "I want Victor's fucking approval and for him to do the program." And Victor's plot is the quest for inspiration.
The little triplet kids who are about 3 inches tall are running security at the ice rink, apparently.
Oh, and I love that we finally get some like good chibis in this. We finally get some good like chibi characters. Red, if you don't know what a chibi is, it's when a character is reduced to... Yeah.
It's those snacks when they get dipped in chocolate.
No, that's Pocky.
Oh, okay.
Chibi is when the character, like, the animation reverts to them being, like, a little wide-eyed, squash, super deformed character, and they're like, "Ah!" Like,
yeah,
that shit.
So, yeah, They do that during the previously on, and that was the first thing that like just knocked me out of like, what is happening? Is it like your soul in Japan? It's like, this is what's inside me, this little chibi.
No, it's just like, oh, they're having a very oversized reaction. How cute.
When I have an oversized reaction, I get smaller and fatter.
I think we've all seen that.
Yes. Heaven's constant.
Sometimes you turn into a black and white pencil drawing. Sometimes you turn into a chibi.
It's a very realistic possibility. And this plot is moving so fast. So Victor's already giving Yuri confidence, even though they met like 8 minutes ago. and so this is only 12 episodes long. So I guess like 4 hours total. They are just barreling through shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Anime, it typically like, it's either fucking very fast-paced or very slow-paced.
And this is, extremely fast-paced. So, Yurio's visible anger is hilarious. The fact that he's just, like, trembling with fury.
He's so petty! I hate him and love him for it!
No, I hate him. He's Joffrey. He's absolutely Joffrey. He was portrayed by actor Jackie Gleason. Jack Gleason, excuse me.
Listen, I would love to see Jackie Gleason play Joffrey.
That'd be a very different show.
Where's that fucking SNL sketch?
He's doing, so it turns, Victor decides to do a program for both of them to two different arrangements of the same song.
Mm-hmm. And
he will choreograph them overnight. He will take about 30 minutes.
Explanation of the different loves. We've got agape, aka universal love / love for God, and uh-huh. Eros, sexual love,
and then of course the daughter triplets just arrive out of nowhere and like, we're gonna arrange you to put on a show. Hot Springs on Ice, which is supposed to be a funny name, right?
It's pretty funny.
I like it a lot. It's very pretty family.
Listen, this is fucking Japan's pretty fucking funny. I like their sense of humor.
So Yurio stays at the hot springs, which is, you know, a perfect sitcom situation. We're enemies, but now we have to live in the same space as we fight for the adulation of this much older, I believe 4 years older man. And then Victor says, in a tone that makes me think that they meant it to sound very thoughtful and that maybe the translation didn't go well, "So what we need for Yurio is a magic spell to change the little piggy into a prince."
Oh, I love that. I love it when it's like, oh, a piglet and a kitten. And I was like, this is the best summation of these two characters possible.
No, well, I was just like, what did fucking Don Rickles show up?
Everybody loves to get burns off. That is one of the most universal cultural norms. Every culture likes a good burn.
Without burns,
every culture loves owns.
Yeah, everybody, they keep moving forward. Like, what do we like? What separates humans from other animals? And like, first they're like, oh, tools. But then we figure out everybody uses tools. And then they're like, oh, we use this. And it, like, no, sick burns is what makes us human.
the ability to own other creatures is what separates man from animals.
Just figuratively.
Figurative owns.
Yes.
What separates. Yeah, listen. You don't see a lot of owning in fucking animal culture.
A lot of sharing. So the next day at the ice rink, both Yuris listen to the music, and then we get another great scene where he literally like rubs his thumb against his pupil's lips, which I don't know, is that a Russian thing?
It's a very yaoi thing.
It's so this is where they, it's about someone innocent who doesn't know what love is. Not talking about myself.
And guys, don't describe this to any of us.
And he gives Yuri the sexual one and Yurio the innocent one.
And they're both like, no, it should be the other way around. Oh, no.
And then in the sick burn territory, you're both more ordinary and mediocre than you think.
I fucking love anime. I love burns and I love anime.
It's some of the sickest burns. He is taking him down. And And then we have the scene where Yurio is just like, finds his inner strength for a moment. He's like, I want to keep winning and keep eating pork cutlet bowls.
Listen, that's all the motivation I've ever needed. Pork cutlets, that's all I've ever needed to power my entire being.
So that takes us to the end of the first two episodes. And this is, man, this was, I had a lot of fun watching this.
This is a good ass fucking anime.
Yeah, I do feel like it is kind of weird though, because I'll watch this and they'll be like, what are other good anime? And everybody will be like, never mind.
Listen, I've already told you, go watch Cowboy Bebop, homie.
But it's like, do you think that holds up? Because I feel like...
Yes!
When did you watch that originally? How old were you?
Oh, Jesus. I was probably... It was 2001, so I was 14, 15. But I have watched it repeatedly and over since then.
But you can't watch it for the first time. You can't watch it for the first time. It's like...
Red. When I tell you, Cowboy Bebop is one of the greatest fucking animes that's ever been produced.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a liar.
Okay.
Listen, you watch that Cowboy Bebop and you tell me whether or not it's fucking good. I guarantee you'll be like, I liked it.
The same reaction I had to episode one of Luke Cage.
Listen, the back half holds up a lot better than Luke Cage.
That
back half of Luke Cage. Yeesh.
Well, I mean, if you're going to kill Remy, I'm just not on board.
Mahershala Ali, fucking hope you win that Oscar.
Did you see the picture that Reggie Steele posted of him when he was on the same basketball team as?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's amazing. They all have the most wondrous haircuts.
Oh my god, I bet it's fucking amazing.
Oh yeah. Well, first of all, Reggie Steele just has a straight bowl cut.
What?
I didn't know you could do that to an African American human being.
And I bet all of the women were still in the back of the punchline like, yeah, I like that, Reggie.
Well,
I have never seen women objectify a man like every female comedian watching Reggie Steele at the punchline.
Yeah, that dude, and he has, I don't it's hilarious.
Listen, ladies like Reggie.
All right, so this is This has been
the Patreon exclusive episode of Yuri on Ice. We fully recommend this fucking anime. Anime is great. Anime is the greatest form of animation. Otaku desu ne.
It was pretty good. If you haven't seen an anime, give it a chance. Apparently, you just go to crunchyroll.com. This reminds me of when I was in... I watch a lot of American gridiron football. That's the thing that I'm into. And getting it on television in the United States is a goddamn nightmare because, like, every other game is on a different cable channel that requires you to give money to a different person. And even if you did give money to all the right people, it just costs tens of millions of dollars. In college football, it's even worse. Like, every conference has their own TV channel now. But the thing is, if you leave the United States, you can give money to, like, one place and you get, like, all of the football. And I feel like this is, like, it's much easier to watch things outside of the country they're produced in, because they're just much less precious about it. Like, I'm sure the American audience is like half of 1% of the anime consumers compared to actual Japan. So they're like, yeah, whatever, we don't care.
Pretty much. That's always kind of been Japan's attitude to a lot of American, like, gray market importing of anime and manga, where it's like fan translations are generally like, the Japanese treat them as like, yeah, whatever, do what you want, fucking, we're not gonna fucking do this, so you go ahead and do it. It's always like the American licensors that are like, no, we've licensed this, so now you have to take down all of your fan translations.
Yeah, it's stupid. Stupid. Yeah. It's about getting art to the people, man.
It really is. It's about getting pork cutlets to the people.
It's about getting pork cutlets. Now, pork cutlets everyone should have to pay for. Those are not a replenishable resource.
No, truly. Listen, I wish that they would fucking drill and find that pork cutlet reserve.
All right, so this has been our episode. Thank you so much. You can find us patreon.com/boysgoreswords. You can find us on Twitter @boysgoreswords. You can find Ivan on Twitter @Ivan_Hernandez. And before I say my name, I just remembered, check out my new podcast, Pilot Fight.
Yeah, with Katie Kirsten.
With Katie Kirsten, you might know for the Magicians episode, we compare two television shows head-to-head in a search for the best show of the season. The last episode that we just launched was Atlanta of Donald Glover fame versus Fleabag, which are both very, very good. So hear how we voted. And you can vote yourself if you follow that show at Pilot Fight on Twitter. And that's all I have to say.
Also, if you're wondering where Bunker Politics is, we're launching in the new year, babies.
We're going to launch that in the new year. Yeah.
And you can find Red at Red_Scott.
Bye.
See ya.